when we were dealing topically with the subject of speaking in tongues. Korintoslula 13, wa ننظر إلى النص إلى النص بعد ما تطرقنا كموضوع إلى قضية الكلام بالألسنة. I'll go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and from verse 8 to verse 13. Korintos lula 13, ومن 8 إلى 13. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abides faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Let me just mention again and emphasize maybe just 2 points. First of all, biblical gift of languages, الهبة الكتابية والعجائبية يلي إلها علاقة باللغات, تكلم بلغة المتكلم ما بيعرفها مش متعلمة. This is one thing. And the modern day practice of speaking in tongues is another thing. والكلام بالألسنة في عصرنا الحديث أمر آخر. What happened on the day of Pentecost, what happened in the Bible, is different from what is happening in our modern day and time. أشياء مختلفة. الكلام بالألسنة في الكتاب المقدس هو الكلام بلغات. إنه أنا أوقف وأحكي مثلا روسي. أو صيني. الكلام بالألسنة بالكتاب المقدس هو ليس ترشأة بنوع من النشوي. It is not mumbling and jumbling and speaking ecstatically and saying things that in effect have no meaning. Have no meaning. The second thing I want to say. Things which happened in the time of the early church, like miracles, like the presence of apostles and prophets, and those apostles, many of them, and others who were close to them writing by inspiration. أشياء خاصة حدثت في الكنيسة الأولى من مثلا وجود الرسل والأنبياء والرسل وآخرين إنه يكتبوا بالوحي وعجائب. هل هذه الأشياء نفهم من الكتاب المقدس إنه هي لكل عصر الكنيسة باستمرار؟ Should we understand that these things are for the age of the church in its entirety, that they continue? Or should we understand that they cease? I think we have good biblical grounds to understand that they cease. To be more specific, that they ceased. That they have finished, that they are done, that they are done. So that anyone in our day and time who claims to be, let's say, an apostle, I am personally of the conviction, as I see and understand God's word, that right away you can say that's false. That right away you can say that that is not true. Now, I'm presenting these two facts, these two assertions or claims. I don't want to go into all the things that we said to support them, all the things associated with them. These things that are things that we've considered. We're going back to the biblical text more than during our topical exploration of this subject. Love never fails, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. Whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish. It shall vanish. Tongues also are said to cease. Now, one of the things that we saw last time, is knowledge going to be done away with in the sense that we will no longer know anything? something like what happens to certain people as they advance in age. They become more forgetful until the time comes when they can remember very few things of a specific nature. Is that what the Bible is speaking of? Of course, this is not what the Bible is speaking of. What it is speaking of is special knowledge, special revelation. معرفة خاصة الرب كان عم يعطيها بهديك الأوقات لأشخاص معينين والهدف طبعا أنه يكون في معرفة يشاركوها مع الآخرين للحقائق الروحية, things that are known about spiritual matters which they can share with others. It says in the same passage in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, then I shall know even as I am known. So the question is not that knowledge itself is going to disappear, is not going to exist anymore. It's a question of special knowledge. Some other Bible verses that speak of knowledge. Isaiah 11 and verse 9 says, the earth will be full of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. الأرض ستمتلئ من معرفة الله مثل ما المياه بتعبي البحار. And so knowledge is not going to go away. This is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. هذه الحياة الأبدية أن يعرفوك أنت الإله الحقيقي والمسيح ويسوع اللي أرسلته. Knowledge will continue. The Bible speaks in 2 Corinthians 4:6 about God giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The رب بيعطينا نور معرفة مجد الله في وجه يسوع المسيح. Is this knowledge going to go away? When Paul said, I've lost all things for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. خسرت كل الأشياء من أجل شو امتياز معرفة المسيح. Is this knowledge going to go away? Look at two other verses. Colossians 1:10. Colossi 1:10. It says that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. And also 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the last words of Peter. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, it is not knowledge itself, but rather special knowledge which God gave at the time. Will prophecies fail in the sense of them not being fulfilled? How many times does the Bible say the scriptures will be fulfilled in one way or the other? The book of Numbers says, God is not a man that he should lie. Allah ليس إنسان ليكذب. ليكذب. Has he spoken and he, shall he not make it good? هل تكلم ولن يفي. Twice Joshua told the people towards the end of the book of Joshua, there failed not one good thing of what God has promised. ما فشل الرب في تأمين أي شيء صالح وعد به. And Solomon said that again at the dedication of the temple. وكرر سليمان الكلام عند تكريس الهيكل. The Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, my words will not pass away. He stood in the synagogue of Nazareth, بمجمع النصرة. He read from Isaiah 61. He told them, this day the scripture is fulfilled. اليوم تمت هذه الأشياء في أذن في سماعكم. In John chapter 10, he said the scriptures cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. When he was speaking of the treachery, خيانت يهوذا, he says, the scripture must be fulfilled. He that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. من يأكل خبز معي فقد رفع عقبه ضدي. ينبغي أن يتم الكتاب. None of them were lost, John 17, except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. ما خسرت أي واحد منهم إلا ابن الهلاك لكي يتم الكتاب. لكي يتم الكتاب. Peter drew the sword and the Lord Jesus said, I can call 12 legions of angels, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. بقدر أنا شو أطلب من أبي السماوي بيبعث 12 فرقة من الملائكة، لكن الكتب يجب أن تتم. The disciples forsaking him and fleeing, خوف التلاميذ وكونهم هربوا لما تم اعتقال المسيح هو أيضا بحسب الكتاب المقدس تحقيق للنبوة. Many other things. Casting lots for coat of the Lord Jesus Christ. The casting lots for his coat. Jesus upon the cross saying, I thirst. The fact that the bone of him was not broken. After the resurrection, he told the people of the disciples on the way to Emmaus, the scriptures must be fulfilled. He told the disciples the same thing at the end of Luke 24. Acts chapter 1, Peter said that the treachery of Judas, خيانة يهوذا, this must happen because the scriptures must be fulfilled. Over and over again. So there's no such thing as prophecies failing in the sense of them going unfulfilled. The Bible says that God will hasten his word to perform it. رب وراء كلمته ليجريها. ليجريها. We are talking in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 about spiritual gifts. هبات روحية. There is, for instance, the miraculous gift of languages. There is the gift of prophecy. And there is the gift of knowledge. There is the gift of knowledge. It is referred to in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8, the word of wisdom, and to another, the word of knowledge. Think, for instance, with regard to knowledge of what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And let's read verses 11 and 12. Galatians chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying here that somehow the truth and the essence of the message of the gospel was something that he didn't learn from others, but rather he learned it directly from the Lord Jesus. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 2 says that he went up to Jerusalem by what? By revelation. This could be rendered, Galatians 2:2, I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. This is how it is rendered in one version. Think of visions and revelations which he mentions in 2 Corinthians 12. The first four verses of 2 Corinthians 12, Corinthians 10, يصحح 12, ومن عدد واحد إلى عدد أربعة. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or out of the body I cannot tell. God knows such a one as was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So, God gave Paul the Apostle a vision, and of course that vision gave him certain special knowledge, and 14 years ago apparently he had not told that many people, maybe he hadn't told anyone of this information. Eventually he did mention it, at least in this passage. Special knowledge. Think of the vision which God gave Peter in Acts chapter 10, Amel Sa Hashra. Remember, Cornelius being saved, the message very clearly going to the Gentiles. And Peter was where? Peter was in Joppa, and he was praying on the roof of the house that he was staying in. And he saw the heaven opened and the great sheet, مثل الشرشف عظيم في كل الحيوانات نظيفة ومش نظيفة بحسب الناموس, clean and unclean according to the law. And the voice rise, Peter, kill and eat. No, I won't eat anything that is unclean. What God has cleansed, call thou not common. يلي الرب طهره ما تقول انت عنه انه نجس. In those days and times, there was a certain amount of communication which took place between God and men directly. And those to whom the Lord spoke directly, we could say that God had given them the gift of knowledge. Now, did he always speak to them in the form of a dream or a vision? I don't know. Maybe there were some people who had a very special, clear understanding of certain spiritual truths in their heart without it coming to them through a dream or vision, but nevertheless, it was a special working of the Lord. This is the time when the New Testament was not there. All right? 1 Corinthians is one of the first New Testament books to be written to the best of our knowledge. Here is the commonly accepted, there's no absolute proof, but the commonly accepted order, chronological order of the writing of the books of the New Testament. Many people believe that the letter of James and the letter of Galatians may have been the earliest written, and this may have been around 50 AD, which, remember, is about 20 years after the crucifixion and resurrection. And then after that, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and then after that, 1st Corinthians. So people commonly think that 1st Corinthians was the fifth of the New Testament books written out of how many? Out of 27. These are times when the New Testament is not present. Most of the New Testament, 90% maybe of the New Testament, had not yet been written. So in this time, a kind of transitional time from one period to another. Now I'm in المرحلة الانتقالية. In this time, God spoke to people, gave knowledge, gave messages. There was a gift of knowledge. There was a gift of prophecy. This is the time when the New Testament is not there yet. Now, this is as far as prophecies and knowledge which are mentioned in verse 8. Remember, this is the gift of prophecy and the gift of knowledge. Now, perhaps the central question, or at least one of the central questions of the passage, has to do with verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What is that which is perfect? Allow me to first of all turn off this fan. When that which is perfect is come, namely the ACs, and that which is in part, namely the fan. That which is perfect. Now, I want to be kind of, shall we say, broad-minded and inclusive in discussing this subject at first. بجرب إنه أقدم الأفكار اللي الناس عندهم إياها إجمالاً, وبعدين ركز على فكرة واحدة اللي بعتقد هي الفكرة الصحيحة. I want to present several interpretations that people have given, and then I want to focus on one interpretation which I believe is the correct interpretation, and we'll be talking about why this is a good idea and why something else may be a good idea, and so we want to try to take in different possibilities. What are various possibilities regarding that which is perfect. الكامل بعتقد بالعربي. شو هو الكامل؟ This is a very important point, a very central point as far as understanding this passage is concerned. There are some people who say that that which is perfect is love itself. That the Corinthians were lacking in love. And when they learned to love each other, in some sense, they would be mature and other things would pass away. Not many people hold to this view. Another view, the second which I mentioned, is that that which is perfect is a reference to the Bible, is a reference specifically to the completed New Testament. Remember what I was saying, 1 Corinthians, probably the fifth book written, James, Galatians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, but so much of the New Testament was yet to be written. God's word was being written during this time period. When that which is perfect is come, the completed New Testament. Let's turn to James chapter 1. And look at a couple of verses there. First of all, verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty. And notice the use of the word perfect in describing God's word. Of course, we could turn to other passages. But notice also in James chapter 1. Verses 22 and 23. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. Our old translation says in a glass. It's actually in a mirror. The meaning of the word has changed. Now, that's an interesting reference to the Word of God, comparing it to a mirror. Go to 1 Corinthians 13, 12. For now we see in a mirror darkly. For now we see in a mirror darkly. So one possibility is that the reference is to the completed New Testament. New Testament. Another possibility, which some people mention, is that that which is perfect is a coming time, maybe close to and associated with the completion of the New Testament, a coming time in which one can say that the church has reached maturity. الكنيسة وصلت فيها إلى نقطة نضوج. The end of the time of the early church, the end of the time of the apostles, and the time when God's word is firmly established and known. And so that is that which is perfect. You see that this view is not very different than the other view that I mentioned immediately before it, which is we're talking about the New Testament being completed. So New Testament being completed, church being mature, you could distinguish between them, but you could also say that they are close to each other, that they're not very far apart. People who hold this view, which speaks of the maturity of the church as being that which is perfect, they refer, for instance, to passages like Ephesians 4, and verses 11 through 14, Ephesus إصحاح 4 ومن عدد 11 إلى عدد 13, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It mentions the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the perfect man, the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. By every wind of doctrine. Remember how he uses this same analogy in 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, what did I do? When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So, let me mention again, the perfect is love. The perfect is the completed New Testament. The perfect is the church in a mature state. In a mature state, which is around the time of the passing away of the apostles, completion of the New Testament. Now, on the other hand, there are other explanations which focus on things to come. So that there are some people who think that which is perfect refers to the time when the believer enters into the presence of Christ, when the believer passes away, to be absent with the body, is to be present with the Lord. This is that which is perfect. Some people believe that is what is being referred to. Along the same lines, not exactly the same, but not very different, others say that which is perfect is the rapture. The time when believers go to be with the Lord, not individually, which is what happens when they pass away, but rather the church, the bride of Christ, taken to be with the Lord in the rapture. Still others say that it is not the rapture, but rather after the tribulation, the rapture at the beginning of the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, the actual second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth to rule and reign upon the earth 1,000 years, the second coming of the Lord Jesus. This is that which is perfect. And finally, also roughly along the same lines, but not exactly the same, the eternal state, al-wad al-abadi. Now, someone might say, what do you mean by the eternal state? After the Lord Jesus rules and reigns upon the earth 1,000 years, is this going to be forever and ever? No, it's going to be for 1,000 years. And then what will happen is the devil will be loosed and he will stir people up against the Lord, and then the Lord will destroy them with fire from heaven. And now you're talking about what? No more heaven and earth, great white throne judgment. Great white throne judgment, Dainunat al-Arsh al-Abyad al-Azim, and you're talking Revelation 21, 22, new heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem. This is the eternal state, all right? Because the millennium is not an eternal state. The millennium is limited in time. الحكم الألفي هو ليس الأبدي لأن الحكم الألفي هو محدود زمنيا. All right? So that which is perfect, according to some, is a future thing. All right? And like I said, people have thought and have referred to four things as that which is perfect. The believer going to be with the Lord, the rapture, the second coming, the eternal state. All right? So, these are the options that are there. These are the options that are there. Now, let me link this a little bit to our discussion of continuationism and cessationism. الاستمرارية والتوقف. All right? If you want to call them that in Arabic. Remember, continuationism is the idea that miracles and apostles and prophets and all that God gave in a special way at the time of the early churches, all of these things will continue throughout the time of the church. Secessionism, at-tawakuf, that miracles and prophets and apostles and writing by inspiration have stopped after they were there for a certain time in the time of the early church. Now, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. All right? That which is in part, knowledge and prophecy and tongues are in there as well, and we'll look specifically at this and some interesting things regarding how Paul expresses his ideas. Anyway, when that which is perfect is come. Now, if you think that that which is perfect is either the Bible, New Testament being completed, or maturity of the church which took place around the same time, then you say that that which is perfect, you know, it came. Now, when precisely did it come? Was it, should you consider it 100 AD or 90 AD or 80 or 110? This is not a very important point. All right, if you think that it is the Bible, or if you think that it is the maturity of the church, then this is something that already has happened, which means that the special gifts like tongues and like special knowledge and prophecy, they passed away because the perfect came. If you think that the perfect is something yet to come, like the rapture, the second coming, the eternal state, then that means that special knowledge and prophetic ability and tongues, if they pass away before the perfect comes, and the perfect hasn't come yet, then these things might continue up to the present time. So, although this is not 100% true, the people who say something like, the Bible is that which is perfect, or the mature church is that which is perfect, they tend to be secessionists, or should I say it's cessationists. They tend to be the people who say, no more prophecy, no more special knowledge and special revelation, no more miracles. No more miracles. All right? So, the people who say that which is perfect is the Bible or the mature church, they tend to be the people who say all these things are done. All right? And the people who say that which is perfect is something yet to come, tendency is to say, yes, maybe there are prophets, and yes, maybe there are maybe there is special knowledge, and yes, maybe there are miraculous things. Now, this is what I'm saying right now is by no means 100% ironclad. There are people who will tell you that that which is perfect is still not here yet, but they believe that the miraculous things have ceased. There are people who are like that, but this is generally the case. Generally the case that the people who think that which is perfect is Bible or mature church, they think that miraculous things, apostles, prophecy, writing by inspiration, miracles, they think it ceased. And the people who think that that which is perfect is something yet to come, well, let's say it opens the door for the continuation of the special gifts up to our current time. Up to our current time. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. Now as you look at it and as you think about this statement in a very plain, very direct way, it seems that it favors interpretations that have to do with what? With being with the Lord. All right? Seeing face to face and knowing as I am known. Oh, sure, certainly that refers, some people say, certainly it refers to some heavenly situation that you're in when you see face to face and you know as you are known. And so the people who believe that that which is perfect is something that is yet to come, they very quickly go to verse 12. And they say, face to face, know as I am known. But, our passage does not consist of verse 12 only. Our passage consists of verses 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. The different views that I have presented, to be very honest, if you look at one view, it might fit a part of the passage as a whole very well, and then it has a bit of problems vis-a-vis some other part of the passage. You look at another view, all right? It fits one part of the passage very easily, not so easily the other parts of the passage. To be very honest, interpretations that we are speaking of, the different things that I mentioned, the different ways that people have thought of that which is perfect, these interpretations have, to some extent at least, each one, its strengths and its weaknesses. كل تفسير من التفسيرات اللي ذكرتها إلى درجة معينة عنده نقاط قوة وعنده نقاط ضعف بالنسبة للمقطع قدي بينسجم مع المقطع. Now, I've tried to present things, different ideas in a very broad way. And now what I want to say is that which is perfect, I am convinced. I am convinced, and I'm convinced of this, I think rather firmly, that which is perfect is the completion of the New Testament. Is the completion of the New Testament. This is the view which I believe to be correct. Now, I don't want anyone to say, well, we believe this because that's what the pastor says. We're going to spend a good deal of time looking at this passage and seeing the different elements of the passage and how we understand whether they support this idea or whether they support that idea. As you take a journey through the passage carefully and look at the different elements. To me, the convincing interpretation is the interpretation which says this is the completion of the New Testament. إتمام وإكمال العهد الجديد. هذا هو الشيء الكامل المشار إليه بالعدد عشرة. The idea here, let me express the general idea. What we have here, time of 1 Corinthians, time of the early church. There was no New Testament yet. The Lord worked in ways appropriate to that time. There were people who worked miracles. There were things revealed to people. They had special knowledge. There were apostles. There were prophets. When the time of the New Testament comes, what need is there anymore of prophecy? Of God speaking through a particular person in a particular way? What need is there of special knowledge? The Lord has spoken. And his word has been given. What need is there of miracles? All right? When we have his word, which is in itself a miracle. All right? In itself, it is a miraculous work. The work of inspiration, let's not forget, is a miraculous work. And so, when the Word is present, when the New Testament has been written and given, then what need is there of things like special knowledge, things like prophecy, and things like miracles? Look at what Peter says in his second letter. This is a statement of some importance regarding the Bible and regarding and regarding the significance, the foundational nature of the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1 and beginning with verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount, this is obviously the transfiguration. At-tajalli. All right? Now, let's go on. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, unto which ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Notice that this is, first of all, a word of prophecy. So if the Bible is a word of prophecy, then what need is there? What need is there that there should be prophets again? That there should be prophets. And then he says it is a more sure word of prophecy, كلمة نبوية وهي أثبت. أثبت من شو؟ أثبت من حادثة التجلي. That's what it's more sure than. It is more sure, maybe if you want to be very specific, it is more sure than the voice. That's what is referred to, immediate antecedent. الشيء اللي بيسبق مباشرة هو الإشارة إلى الصوت من السماء. كلمة الرب أثبت من شو؟ أثبت من صوت من السماء. All right? We need to remember this when we think of, oh, if only there were miracles. This is Luke chapter 16 again. This is the rich man saying to Abraham, send Lazarus. They would believe. And Abraham says what? They won't believe. Yes, send him. No, they won't believe. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe. They won't believe. We have a more sure word of prophecy, a more sure word of prophecy. The biblical gift of languages and the gift of knowledge and the gift of prophecy, these were for those very early times. And that very early time of the church might be compared to an infancy. نوع من الطفولية. But now God has spoken in his word. Now his word is complete. Now his word is in our hands. So what served for a certain time in a temporary manner, the gift of languages and the gift of knowledge and the gift of prophecy, they served for a certain time temporarily. Now they will be done away with because there is something better, because that which is perfect has come, namely the completed New Testament. The completed New Testament. Corinthians, you are so taken up. All right, with what? You're so taken up with the biblical gift of languages, which God has given you. مؤمني كورنثوس كتير مفحوطين بشو بالقدرة العجائبية اللي الرب أعطاها للبعض, التكلم باللغات, التكلم بلغات. And the people who have this gift think that they are great and spiritual and better than others, as if they are speaking in their own power. As if they are speaking in their own power. They think that they are, as they say in Arabic, al-bayda wa al-ta'shira. They think that they are the egg and the shell. Oh, look at the great priestess of Apollo in the temple in Delphi, how she stutters and stammers, and everyone listens to her. Well, we speak in tongues in the Church of Christ. I'm not saying that they were stuttering and stammering like her. All right, but they thought that just like the priestess in the temple of Apollo was the big cheese, the egg and its shell, al-bayda wa al-ta'shira, so also that they're speaking in tongues, that they're speaking in languages in the Church of God made them necessarily the top of some kind of self-created pyramid. First of all, what you have is different from what is in the world. What you have is different from what is in the world. Second of all, whatever you do, you have to do it with love. Otherwise, it means nothing. This is the first part of chapter 13. Third, just so that you'll have some perspective, what you are so proud of, namely the gift, the ability that God has given to you to speak in languages, this is something that is soon going to vanish away. This is something that is soon going to be gone. This is soon going to be gone. Oh, soon to be gone. Oh, Yaweilna. Woe is us. No, no. Not woe is us. Something better is coming. Thomas, because you believed, because you saw, you believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed. Blessed are they. Don't think of yourselves too highly. First of all, don't think about what God has given you. Don't think about it in a worldly way. Don't take it and act like people in the world act. People in the world have their own system. What God has given you is something different. Number two, you are not to act selfishly, but selflessly for the edification of others. You are to act in love. And third of all, you are to understand that this is soon going to be gone. This is soon going to be gone and replaced with something that is better. Something that is better. All right? I wanted to say earlier, so let me open a little parenthesis and mention something that I wanted to say earlier. Some people might say, I believe that gifts continue. And so that justifies the modern day speaking in tongues. All right, because gifts continue. I think that that which is perfect is the coming of the Lord in the future. All right, and so I think that these gifts continue. It justifies modern day speaking in tongues. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. If you are a continuationist and this is what you really believe, all right, it doesn't justify modern day speaking in tongues. Why? Because modern day speaking in tongues is not a continuation of the biblical gift of languages. It's something else. Suppose, let me give you a little analogy. Suppose a traditionalist came to us and said, the Lord Jesus said, go ye into all the world. All right? Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is something that the Lord Jesus gave. And that's why we baptize infants. You would say, stop, 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 stop. All right? Baptism is something that the Lord Jesus gave. And we very much believe in the baptism of the Lord Jesus and the baptism that is of the apostles and the baptism mentioned in the Bible. And we very much believe that the practice of baptism should continue up to this time and into the future, which is what God has commanded. But infant baptism is something different. So you cannot come and say that there should be infant baptism because there was baptism. Because the two are quite different. Because the two are quite different. One cannot come and say, even if you believe in continuation, and you believe that that which is perfect is not the Bible, all right, is not the Bible, you believe that it's the coming of the Lord, all right, either the rapture or the second coming or the eternal state. We'll look at problems with each one of those, all right? You cannot say, even if you believe that that which is perfect is yet to come, all right, that which is perfect, I mean by that specifically what is referred to in 1 Corinthians 13:10. If you think that 1 Corinthians 13:10 is talking about, let's say, the rapture, the second coming, or the eternal state, this still does not justify modern-day speaking in tongues because modern-day speaking in tongues is not a continuation of the biblical gift of languages. Otherwise, you might as well accept, as I said, infant baptism as a continuation of the baptism that's found in the Bible. All right? It is something different in nature. It is not something that is the same. Not something that is the same. All right. So, how about if I mention one other thing and I try to do it in 2 minutes? All right, and we'll get into it in detail. All right, different elements in the passage. We have to think about this passage carefully. We have to think about what it says. And I believe that the conclusion is that which is perfect is the completed New Testament. Let's talk about one thing, a relatively simple thing. When that which is perfect, teleion, if I'm not mistaken, in Greek, that is the word, teleion, that which is perfect. Now, one of the things that we should take note of, and this is where we benefit from the fact that the text is actually not English, it's Greek, all right? There are some things, especially when you want to be very careful, it could be very beneficial to understand things as in the Greek. And let's face it, God gave this word in that language. What we have is a translation. Anyone who knows translation knows that you can be ultra, ultra faithful, but sometimes there are little nuances. If you know more than one language, that appear there, that don't appear there, differences in grammar, shades of meaning, presence of different words. That which is perfect is in the Greek neuter. Neuter. It is neither masculine nor feminine. Mm-hmm. All right? من الصفة الكلمة الكامل هي ليست كلمة مذكر وليست كلمة مؤنث. All right? في عندهم مش مثل العربي بس مذكر مؤنث. في كمان في كلام حيادي إذا جاز التعبير صفات وصيغات لن مؤنث ولن مذكر. All right? And that which is perfect is, in fact, Greek neuter. Greek neuter. Now, why is this interesting? Let's say that you are talking about the rapture. Every word... There are three words. Let me not say every. There are three words, to the best of my knowledge, that are commonly used in the Bible to describe the rapture. And these are parousia, the coming, the presence, the visible return, epiphania, the appearing, the manifestation, the glorious display, and apocalypsis. Unveiling, uncovering, revelation. And we could quote Bible verses. Maybe I'll do it next time. I got one verse each for each one of these words, passages in the Bible that refer to the second coming. Parousia, Epiphania, Apocalypsis, all right, are common biblical words, Greek words that refer to the rapture. The interesting thing is that they are all feminine. They are all feminine, all right? That which is perfect is neuter, all right? Now, if you're talking about the rapture and you're talking in Greek, the words which are most commonly used for the rapture in Greek are feminine words. And therefore, why would you say that which is perfect neuter? Why wouldn't you use the feminine version of this adjective, teleion? All right? It has a feminine version, if I'm not mistaken. If you're referring to things, to words in Greek that are feminine. Now, what about the second coming of the Lord Jesus at the end of the tribulation? Why should you refer to the Lord Jesus as that which is perfect, neuter? Why not refer to him as masculine? Why not refer to him as masculine? The translation that we have here, that which is perfect, is a good translation. There are some translations that fudge it a little bit, and they say instead of that which is perfect, they say when the perfect is come. Now, why is there a little bit of inaccuracy if you say the perfect? The perfect could imply to a person. But in fact, the neuter is not usually the form of the word that you use to describe a person. When you're talking about the Lord Jesus coming, you're talking about a person coming. All right? And therefore, you would not usually use the neuter. All right, you would not usually use the neuter. All right, and so as you talk about future events, rapture, it seems unlikely. Second coming seems unlikely, because then it would be masculine. Now, the people who say the eternal state, New heavens, new Jerusalem, new heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem, eternal state. I think this is one of the reasons why they say eternal state. All right? Because they are thinking that that which is perfect is in the future, but they are not able to say that it's the rapture, because the rapture would require a feminine version of the word teleon, not the neuter version, which is what we have. And they're not able to say that it is the second coming of Christ, because it's likely then that you'd have the masculine version. And so they say it is the eternal state. New heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem. Okay? Now, what is a bit of a problem there? All right? It says that we see face to face. It says that I will know even as I am known. Now, we're going to look at this in a lot more detail. All right? But let's suppose you're thinking that this is a future event. Okay? Believer dies here, goes to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay? Now, someone goes to be with the Lord because he passed away yesterday, believer, or this morning. Now, what still remains time-wise of God's program? There is what? There's the remaining part of the church age. Then there is the tribulation. Then there is the millennium. Then there is the eternal state. Now, the believer who dies right now and goes to be with the Lord, he doesn't see the Lord face to face until the eternal state. That means that somehow he goes to heaven and is in heaven, but he doesn't see the Lord throughout the duration of the church age. He doesn't see the Lord through the tribulation, doesn't see the Lord through the millennium. Then he sees the Lord at the coming of the eternal state. Somehow doesn't seem like it fits. It doesn't seem to make sense. To me, it does not make sense. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, all right, the word teleon, I'll check on this next time and maybe have more to say. I'll try to make doubly sure of it, but I'll mention it now. One reference says that the word teleon in the New Testament, the word teleon never refers to the second coming. All right? I want to dig in more. I want to look up every word teleon in the Bible and read the passage and make sure. But it seems, at the very least, according to one source, that the word teleon is not used of the second coming and of events associated with the second coming. It is not used of end time events. End time events. Now, someone might say, but wait a minute, it means perfect. Hold that thought and we'll continue next time because I really need to wrap up. We will look at this passage more next time. Let me just say again, there are several possibilities. I have great respect for different people who genuinely hold another view. But I think, as I look at things and as we look at them together and see the various supporting elements, I do believe that which is perfect is the New Testament, And things like the miracles and special knowledge and prophecy, that these were given for the time of the early church, and with the coming and completion of the New Testament, that these things became, as they say in Arabic, khabar kana, that these became past tense. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to look to it carefully, to look unto you, Lord, through your spirit and wisdom that you give to understand it. We pray that you would open our eyes so that we may behold wondrous things in your law. We pray that you would help us to see what you have said, to take it in, understand it, and to walk based upon it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.